Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing X-Men 97, Season 1, Episode 6, Life Death, Part 2. All that and more right after this.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name's Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
And I'm Ashley Coffin.
And I... and the mistress of the elements.
She's back, baby. I waited long enough. I was like,
spoiler
okay.
Alert.
I know she's back, and I'm digging it. And I know she went through some stuff in this, like, world. But I guess the Forge's machine just worked? Is that the... So, like, I understand... should we give a spoiler alert or something? Spoiler alert, episode 6, yeah. We're going to talk about it.
we're talking about it. It was fun to watch it.
Storm's back.
What are you doing here if you haven't watched it?
This is
about here.
Yeah. This episode was cool. Forge got all Doctor Strange-y.
Yeah, he did.
With his book. Like, that was very Doctor Strange visuals.
Yep.
They even had the sparks that were coming out.
Sparks coming off of what looked like the portals, the sling ringness of it all.
He's like a shaman, right? Because it's like a Cheyenne kind of thing.
I think it's Hopi.
Oh.
He is a Native American, like, shaman, like, totem warrior type deal. I can't remember exactly what to call it. I think it's shaman. But, like, there was a point in comics where he turned away from that, like, that old magic and, like, I want to, you know, be a man of science. Because he's that like juxtaposition of like being taught, you know, all of the old ways and all the old magics and everything, but his brain is like wired for invention and like making scientific discoveries and machines and mechanical engineering. It's like he's this great fusion of both worlds.
That's cool. That's a cool like tension in his character. Like I like that. I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
Well, didn't he, like, adversary, he conjured him for a reason, I can't remember, but it was, like, to use him against something, and it was, like, a demon that latched on, which is, like, your age-old demon thing, like, oh, you can conjure a demon, but it's not always going to work out in your best interest,
and it
continued to, like, always mess with him, which is why he always kind of had to keep using the shaman power.
Right.
He's like, ugh, this goddamn owl.
This guy again.
Every time I take the trash out. Swoop, swoop,
I swear,
swoop.
I can't go to a movie without this guy following me.
Well, and he's like also a trickster demon, which isn't far off from Loki. So it's kind of cool to see him using like hallucination kind of powers the same way Loki. Like it's not exactly real, but it is extreme. Like,
right?
Yeah, it's going like that on a Xavier style reel.
Yeah.
Mm.
We'll get to all that.
Yeah.
So I guess he is some sort of like a demonic force, like in from the world of magic that Doctor Strange comes from, like whatever. There are different realms and all that stuff with different magics.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I want to know what that book was.
Right. Yeah. He has a book. It's because that was mother's book. Is that what he says?
Yeah. Well, he said his mother was real big in the ways of the old magics, but that symbol that's on it, like that's a that's the tribe. I think that's the Hopi symbol, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay,
we'll look that up real quick.
Cool. Well, so I in general, the Life Death Part Two, which was weird. This was just called Life Death Part Two, even though the first one was called Motendo/Life Death Part 1.
It's very confusing.
But then they didn't do anything for the other half of the episode, which was, I guess Life Death kind of makes sense for their storyline, but I don't know. It's weird to not have them. Anyway, that's neither here nor there.
It's Motendo and then Life Death Part 1.
Right. Yeah. No, I'm just saying, like, what's weird is that they didn't, the Shi'ar part of it has no name. It seems like it's just named for the Storm section because it's a part two, because either way, they weren't included in part one, and then they are in part two, and the story doesn't really seem to, like, it, the name doesn't really seem to fit both.
That's true.
Sure.
Speaking of beginnings, it is, I thought it was pretty messed up that they wanted to rip everybody's heart out right at the beginning, because, like, it was great to have Nightcrawler, but Gambit is gone, that was gutting, Magneto's gone. There's a lot more of the Dark Phoenix stuff. Nimrod, which you pointed out, was coming out of Master Mold's body.
You're talking about in the intro.
So,
in the intro,
in the intro, there's so much.
Just in the intro.
Now that we know that the thing changes every time, it's very interesting to see what they're putting in the intro. And, like, some of it seems to lead to what's happening in the episode, but not always. Like, Nimrod didn't show up in this episode, but, like, they did do it. They have done things like, I want to say, I'm forgetting, but, like, in certain episodes, certain things were sort of foreshadowed in the intro. So I've been watching it closely.
They keep showing Apocalypse.
Yeah.
They keep showing that's where Apocalypse we're going.
And Cable and
Dark Phoenix.
Dark Phoenix keeps coming
up. But more of the Dark Phoenix than.
Yeah.
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 And then in this one, we had Nimrod, and then there was a shot of Nimrod from the back getting shot up by what looked like Bishop, but on either side of Bishop were Storm and Logan.
No way. I didn't see that.
You gotta pause it at that second, that exact moment that it's on there, but it was them in their Days of Future Past future costumes.
Oh, from the show?
Yeah, well, from, like, the comics accurate.
Okay, cool. That's cool.
Like, Wolverine had his, like, black and yellow strappiness on. Like, it was so cool. Storm had her, like, the shaved set sides of her head with the headband on.
With the black.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Leather.
And it was all ripped up. Yeah.
Love it.
Looked so good.
Oh, there are a couple in that. Her and Logan. Aw.
No.
No. In that universe.
Well, and so this episode, we got to, you know, we got Storm back, which is wonderful. I am a little annoyed because I feel like they just did the whole, you just got to get over your feelings about this and you'll get your powers back thing. Yeah. I don't love
Spider-Man that. Too.
Yeah.
She had a web block.
Well, and I mean, he did use the device on her. They also said they weren't even totally sure her powers would be gone forever. So, like, it's possible they came back to coincide with her. You know, whatever. Maybe they came back when he used the power thing on her and she was mind-blocked or whatever and didn't have it until now.
True.
So, well, I mean, there's a few explanations.
It could well be that the machine just kind of reset her so that a traumatic experience triggers the powers showing up again.
That's true.
Well, Storm can't seem to get out of any mission without having to get in a claustrophobic type place. So I that swear. Happening just seems to be right on par. I'm like, girl, every time. They're like, you got to take this little candlestick and shuffle down that mine shaft. Go. And she's like,
there's literally no one else here that can do this.
Yeah.
He's like, no, I got bit by, I don't know, fungus. I don't know what was happening there.
I got bit by fungus.
Weird demon.
Yeah.
Demon bite.
Once its poison makes its way to my heart, because apparently my blood pumps very, very slowly.
Fastest way to get your girl back. I'm dying. And then she's like, I'm going to help you, my love. I'm like,
my love?
What do you do? Right? What do you do? This could only be 15 more minutes. I'm going to play along. And we'll see what happens after.
Lessons I learned from X-Men, you know? Like, get bit by a demon and get them to fake fall your in death. Love with you. Yeah.
Fake your death, become an emperor of an alien empire.
Yeah. Well,
speaking of that, like, I knew it. I knew it, Charles. I'm mad at you. You're so selfish, Charles Xavier.
I knew during the intro, like, when I saw Lalandra in there, like, I said out loud as she came on screen, I was like, Lalandra!
Why do you say selfish, Ashley? I mean, like, I get he's not choosing her.
I know, but they really were making it like he was dead. Yeah, I don't know. They have made it very ambiguous.
Oh,
I
guess, just the fact beginning. That he's been gone?
He's not even keeping communications. He has no idea. Like, if he would check in.
You can make a call.
Once in a while, I'd be like, hey, Charles, there's probably a lot I got to tell you right now. Like, I don't know if you're paying attention. Oh, you're not. Okay, cool. Like, Eric's dead. There's two genes. Oh, Gambit's dead. Actually, like, so many people are, like, dead.
It was kind of a, you know, you also let death.
Rogue date Eric. We're going to talk about, put a pin in that. We're coming back to that. Don't you worry about it. You know, there's just too much to talk about in this little, you know, expensive phone call to the moon, yeah, or wherever you are.
And weirdly enough, the person who's doing that download, exactly in the voice you described it, it was Logan. He was like, X, you gotta know. This is going on. I don't know. Just, I like the idea of, yep, Logan. Yeah. Logan giving the hot goss.
You need to get back here.
Charles, some weird shit's been going down.
Charles, I got the tea for you.
Like, I know you're used to me saying that everybody's dead, but everybody's dead.
Yeah, but the only thing we're not going to fix is two genes. Two genes get to stay. We can make a couple more, actually.
Don't fix two genes. Yeah, we're good.
Two genes good stays. There.
Genes everywhere. Not one for me. Oh, man.
Two genes. And I want both of them.
There's enough for me and Scott now, but I want both of them.
I want to be a Logan sandwich.
Right? See, this is why the Shi'ar refer to us as the Milky Way ghetto. And yeah. I wasn't even, yeah, offended. I was like, that is exactly right.
Yeah. I am offended at how correct you are.
It's very similar. I forget how they describe it in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, but they describe the Earth similarly. Like, they're talking about running the plot of the, at least the movie, I don't even remember on the radio play, but they're running a interstate, like a galactic highway is going through the Earth.
Bypass, yeah.
Yeah.
Gotta build bypasses.
And they're like, it's just Earth. Like, what?
Yeah.
Speaking of just Earth and being away, how cool was it to see that team? Like, what team is that's working with the Shi'ar Empire? Like, with
the Imperial Guard.
The Imperial Guard. Okay, they did say that. I shouldn't know if that was some team from comics that I don't know the name of.
Yeah, that's Gladiators, and I love him. He's like Superman, I guess. He's
basically Superman.
Well, yeah. Adam Warlock was in there, without, too.
He does do the eye thing, right?
Yeah, he did the eye thing to blow up that grenade.
Yeah. He's like a ride or die for Lilandra.
Okay.
So, well, that's good.
He's a ride or die for the Shi'ar throne.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. What was her brother? Dakin?
Daken.
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 Her family sucks.
Her family is awful.
Just always trying to kill her.
I'm kind of wondering, like, how she ended up okay the way that she is. Like, what else is wrong? What are we not seeing, Lilandra? Because everybody else is, like, murderous, like, wants to conquer everything, assholes. What is wrong with you? Where's your flaw?
She was kind of like, well, just give everything up. Why? Why don't you want to just do that?
Right?
And but like, then she kind of got it. I don't know. She went back and forth. I appreciated that.
It was such a weird thing, though. Like, she's like, give up every, like, purge all of your memories and everything that you've ever loved. And,
or like, my family's right about you. Like,
or
what?
My family's right about you. And then, like, the lady and I are both like, but that's what makes him who he is and the man you love. So,
yeah.
Wipe all it. What, you like want, like, an emperor baby? Like, yeah. What?
Just gonna Benjamin Button him.
He's already got the hair.
Yeah.
It was a weird thing.
Yeah,
to be like, we're gonna purge all of your personality.
Well, yeah, and what's weird. Her name? Deathbird or whatever. There's a lot of bird references in this episode. Did anybody notice the outstanding? There's just like a lot of birds up, birds shots.
Yeah.
Deathbird. They call them hatchlings.
That's
a lot of storms flying around like a bird when she turned into my favorite Storm outfit, the black super sexy outfit.
That
like
is really rad. There's also a weird thing where that they do twice in this episode that was weird because like it felt like two different people wrote the two parts of the episode and they both wanted to include the same thing and no one took it back. They both have a conversation about going to a faraway island, but it's like not like in a like, It's not connected thematically at all. It's just two different couples being like, we should get away to a faraway island.
Fantastic.
It's like, yeah, that's cool, but like, Don't write two couples talking that conversation in the same episode unless you mean some thematic connection.
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
I mean, she did call him my love.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to go to Sandals.
Yeah. Yeah. Even in the Shi'ar Empire. Even though it's in the ghetto that is the Earth.
Sandals.
No children.
Before we move on, we got to tell the people about Beam, our wonderful sponsor that's been sponsoring us for weeks now. We really appreciate them. You've got to get you some Beam's Dream Powder. It is great stuff. It's their healthy hot cocoa for sleep.
Sleep's the most important thing. Like when I get like 2 or 3 hours of sleep, you don't want to even talk to me. Mm. And that's not great for my work life.
You know? I don't want to talk to
you. Not at all. And it's not even like I don't get sleep. I fall asleep early, but I don't stay asleep. And Beam really helps you actually sleep through the night and then wake up feeling refreshed and not groggy from having to take, you know, any kind of medication or anything else.
Yeah.
It's great.
Instead, it's an all-natural blend of reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, melatonin, and nano-CBD to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. And it's all in this just wonderful form factor of a cup of hot cocoa.
A cup of delicious hot cocoa.
Delicious. What day of your life is not improved by a wonderful cup of hot cocoa? So you just need to get it. You need to get it. It helps the podcast when you let them know we sent you. And our listeners today get a special discount on Beam's Dream Powder. Their science-backed healthy hot cocoa for sleep with no added sugar. Better sleep has never tasted better. And the numbers do not lie. In a clinical study, 93% of participants reported Dream helped them sleep better.
So if you want to try Beam's best-selling Dream Powder, get up to 40% off for a limited time when you go to shopbeam.com/MCUpod and use the code MCUpod at checkout. That's shopbeam.com/MCUpod and use the code MCUpod for up to 40% off.
Sleepy Beam.
I'm going to go to sleep right now and have some Beam. Oh,
we got to finish the episode.
Oh, no.
It's always a risk. Shows do this thing all the time. And it annoys me. It's a risk, but I understand why they do it. They ended the last episode on this incredible cliffhanger, the most powerful ending of an episode yet. Mm-hmm. And then they took an entire episode and barely mentioned it. They only had the psychic connection. I really hate when shows do that because I come back. I'm like, I sat down on the couch this morning. As soon as I woke up, I was like, all right, let's do this. Let's watch what's happened to the, you know, how many survived? What's going on?
Witness the aftermath.
And then,
you didn't know they were going to do this? That's what all good TV shows do. They make you wait, baby.
Well, and I think they do it all. It makes sense.
Gotta wait.
Because I think the wait makes the next episode even more powerful, even more like you're hungry for that next thing. But I do, it always makes me hate the next episode, which I kind of found myself in this episode going like, boring, like,
this is cool and like, all, but I'm not getting that aftermath that I want.
Yeah.
So the Charles was reveal wasn't big enough to like,
no, definitely not.
Through. He's like, I'm getting married. See, selfish Charles Xavier.
Yeah, when he was like, look at me walking.
He's like, I know more about your people than your people know about themselves. Mm-hmm. So I was like, Charles.
I did really enjoy his like psychic teacher scene. And like he taught.
The psychic teacher scene was fun.
Yeah. But when he showed up
and he's walking there, I'm like, okay, he's wearing armor. This is clearly an exoskeleton. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, obviously this is some crap going on here. I knew he faked his death. Like, you're not fooling anybody, Charles. This is not surprising.
No. He did shove an apple in Deathbird's mouth. I enjoyed that.
That was fun.
Yeah.
He's like, you must raise your hand.
Yeah. So if they hadn't mentioned anything at all, I think I would have been more mad. But that scene was pretty crazy when Gambit turned into the green mouth sentinel. And like, that was pretty harsh for Xavier to find out that way. But I also kind of think he deserved it because it was like, did you shut your whole... everything down? Like, I guess getting a break. I know, I don't know what it's like to be the most powerful mutant in the universe. Maybe he needs a break, but you should probably check in.
Well, it's every now and again.
It seems
you
to
don't
me.
Know your children. I'm not a mother, but you're not like, all right, 18-year-olds, get out. And I'm in a different galaxy. Don't even call, text, email. I don't have money for, I left you enough money. Don't
I can call you. You do not have the power to call me.
Not at all.
Goodbye.
Not even, I don't even know who you are.
It would have made more sense if they'd given like, something like it's impossible to easily communicate between this far and Earth. You know what I mean? Like it takes weeks to communicate, something like that. It would have been nice because they were like, we'll just bring out a globe and you can talk to them. And it's like,
why didn't you do that?
Yeah, that's exactly
it. Carnival? Like, what is this?
Yeah. Why did they not use that phone till now? I guess I get that he's trying to be with her. I mean, he's literally willing in that moment to give up his history with the X-Men to be with her. Like he was, so if he's willing to do that, it makes sense that he's making the decision to cut himself off a little bit and not get sucked back in. You know what I mean? But like, also, do they think you're dead? Like they didn't think you were dead when you left. Is the one communication you sent back that you died?
Like that would kind of be what it has to be, right?
Yeah. It does seem like that.
He sends a text. It's like, I'm actually dead.
Yeah.
Signed, Lalandra, don't call back.
Signed, not Charles.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Lalandra. Charles is dead. Sorry.
Service was beautiful.
Yeah.
So I think it's a powerful thing that, like, he's trying to have this moment away with Lalandra and be with her, and then something so psychically damaging happens that like it breaks through whatever shield he's putting up. And as soon as he sees that little Earth on the table, his mind wanders to Earth and connects to the X-Men and connects to a dying Gambit. Like that was intense. That was really intense.
That was. What was also intense is the ridiculous train of thought that I just had.
I saw you laughing.
You were like, watching me double over laughing. I couldn't stop it. It doesn't make sense that this line of thinking doesn't make sense because it's in 97 and Facebook wasn't around yet. But like, I imagine Charles coming back and being like, they memorialized my Facebook page.
Why? You told us to.
Yeah, you were dead. I was not dead. Who told you I was dead?
Eric said to send your notifications to his email.
Yeah.
Sounds like a really good prank to play on someone to memorialize their Facebook. Oh, man.
Oh, it's funny.
I love the Charles Xavier voice.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. It's like weird. I don't feel like it was always that. Like this. I think this one's different than the original series. Do you feel that way?
Oh, no, no. This one's calmer than the original series.
Maybe.
There were so many episodes where Charles is just like, ah! Why? Like, he's yelling.
He's wrong and crazy, and everybody knows it. And Scott's like, you need to just listen to the professor. You're all out of line. Professor Xavier, what's the problem? Is everything okay? Tell
us everything's okay, Dad.
Yeah.
And he's just like, she's in my head! What are you talking about?
And Myra's like, he's three sheets to the wind. He's gone. He's crazy.
He's lost it.
But then she shows up and everyone's like, oh, we were about to 302 you. Like, you were gone.
We were about to memorialize your Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. But then after all of that, we get the last moment of the episode, which is Bolivar, Trask, like running down the thing. And it's really interesting, I think, that like he is so regretful, it seems, of Genosha. You know, like he seems like, I forget what he says in that last moment, but whatever it was made me think he's like really...
He said, kill me for what happened on Genosha.
Yeah. Hmm. And then it's Sinister that is apparently in control and apparently who got the master mold from Bolivar, gave him the powers of the master mold. So
give him his DNA.
Yeah.
Which for Sinister is a real big thing. I guess it was
master mold. I take it back.
Yeah.
Last week we're like, that wasn't him.
Yeah, like that's not Master Mold. Master Mold doesn't look like a kaiju.
So it is Sinister behind the destruction of Genosha. Like
that's
the big thing we learned there, which is wild.
Probably.
Well, he was the one kind of running it. What was the doctor's name who Mystique was pretending to be? Atler. Dr. Atler. Adler. When he was trying to turn all of the mutants into like mutant slaves.
Oh, yeah. In the back in the original series, yeah. The it was the like the free, oh, the free state of Genosha, or the free like
country. You could go there, and they would take your power. Like Rogue went there to get her powers.
They put collars on.
It was X2 or whatever, or X3, whatever one they did that in the Fox movies.
He was running the place. Like Trask was running the place.
Yes,
and that was also on Genosha, which makes me think like Trask may be. It may be that he is regretful of, and like I don't know.
But wasn't Mystique running all that for Apocalypse?
I don't
because remember. That's how Archangel got turned into Archangel. They didn't actually cure him; they turned him into one of the horses. Like that's why I think all of this is going back to Apocalypse, which is the only reason I'm bringing all of this up.
Yeah, that and like Cable showed up to be like,
yeah, a couple times.
I'm sorry, and Cable's like the biggest anti-apocalypser.
Sinister made the clone of Jean because that was to help him in the war against Apocalypse in the future.
He's like, I'm gonna make a mutant that's gonna beat you.
But that's comics, though, right? Like that's the comic stuff.
They allude to it in the show a little bit. Because they did.
Okay. I thought we just found out about the. They alluded. Yeah, they say that Sinister created the clone. They just didn't say why.
They said Sinister created the clone, like in the past few episodes.
Beast finds his fingerprints
in the original series. Like Sinister was very anti-Apocalypse.
Sure,
like,
sure.
I know you guys hate me, but that guy really sucks.
Well, so Sinister's not a mutant, right? He like has been genetically engineering himself.
He did not start as a mutant.
Right.
Yeah, he like mutated himself. I don't even know.
Apocalypse kind of changed him, and then he also changed himself in a. And it's,
he's like magical too in a weird way. It's interesting.
He snowballed.
From what I've seen though, he in the general tries to collect mutant powers for himself. Mm-hmm. So why would he want to wipe out Genosha instead of like capturing, which leads me back to the theory of like some of those zaps are like teleporting people or something.
Oh, maybe.
Like, I don't know. I don't know why he would want to kill all those mutants instead of get their DNA.
Yeah, you can get their DNA if you kill them.
That is one way to get the DNA.
Maybe it's just like, okay, this is my DNA extractor. it's going to extract your DNA and you're not going to be around anymore.
Yeah. Maybe.
Wasn't that how they got the secret invasion potion? Just mopping the floor after everybody
maybe.
Had their fights, right?
Stop maybe it,
in a French press and just...
Yep, he's sending his team of Skrulls after the Battle of Genosha to...
Let's put that in our Ninja vials. Blender so that we can have a, you know, a good shake. Did you add spirulina to that one? Because, like, I really need, you know, I need that superfood.
Yeah. All right. Well, anything else about this episode y'all want to talk about?
So much.
I guess the storm stuff. How did she grow her hair out? I don't know. I need to learn how to do that. Because my hair's just stuck. I love that the demon was the one who was like kind of giving her the best advice on how to get out of her own situation. And then it's like, oh, it's just my demons.
It's me. I'm the problem.
Yeah. And I liked how they had all of the X-Men kind of turn into Night of the Demons version of X-Men when they're yelling at her when Adversary was using his like morphing powers.
Inside the coffin.
Right in her face.
Yeah. Push the face through and ugh.
Yeah, those faces coming through the coffin and being like demon forms of the mutants were cool.
Yeah.
Including herself.
That was like so awesome.
Very Evil Dead, I felt like.
Yeah.
Evil Dead mixed with somebody posted on the Street Independent chat this week a video. They used AI, so it's just all AI art where they posted the thing where it's like, AI, make me this actor as this character. And they did all these different actors from the 80s. It's an 80s formation of the team, the Marvel team. And they did Bruce Campbell as Deadpool. And I thought that was pretty great. Pretty great.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
That's
perfect. That one makes sense.
There were a lot of really good ones, but that was my favorite.
So funny when she like smears the aloe on Forge and he's like basically immediately healed. And she's like, it's starting to heal. We're like, starting? It's already done.
It's gone. Yeah. He's like, oh, I see you changed into your new outfit. It's
like, well, you seem better.
Well, did you notice the pictures on, they had the pictures in the back with Forge, and all of them are with like bad guys. Like it was with Bastion, like the pictures that they were showing. I feel like it was in the tunnel or something. I'd have to look at it again, but I was like, oh, they're in like fancy clothes. So that had to have been what's his face and maybe Mastermind. So I'm like, oh, are they going to make Forge be the creator of like these new Sentinels in this universe? What are they going to, how far are they going to take this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's the one that created the gun. So like it's very possible, or like worked on it. Could be very possible.
He created the collar.
Oh, yeah. It was the collar. That's the worst thing. Yeah.
Or that's, the best thing, depending on how you use it. Depending
on if you're rogue or not.
Sure, why they're not using it.
I can't feel you.
Could have for $19.99. You know?
For the low, low price of putting this on for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
He's not going to last long. Trust.
Oh. All right. Well, this was fun, guys. Good breakdown. I'm like slightly annoyed at this episode because I'm always annoyed at the episode that they shove in the middle. If they don't, so like this is not so bad, but if they don't get back to it next week, I'll be angry. I'll be downright angry.
I'll be right there with you, Pitchfork.
Yeah, Pitchforks. If we don't find out more about what happened to Genosha last week, we riot. We riot.
It's nice to see you guys this week. New computer, who this?
Yeah. Like,
this really worked very well. I'm very happy.
Your new computer.
Because we haven't been able to see each other the last two times.
Yep.
Well, you've seen us.
Yeah, that's true.
But that's the worst part. All right. Well, we'll be back soon, guys, with lots of MCU cast. And we got some cool episodes coming up. And we got the rest of X-Men 97. We got four more episodes.
Yeah, four more episodes.
10 episodes is crazy.
The last three of which are a three-parter.
Oh,
yeah. What's it called? Do we have the name?
The next episode is called Bright Eyes.
That's Cable.
It says Cyclops that's focuses Rogue, the X-Men on finding Bolivar Trask.
Okay.
Remember when Rogue saw Cable? She was like, hi again, Bright Eyes, or whatever, and punched him in the face. It's in the original series.
Okay.
No, I don't remember that, but I'm going to go watch that again.
I would say that that's what that's going to be. I don't think I said the quote right.
That's a good call.
The last three episodes are Tolerance is Extinction.
Damn, we're going hard. 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, they're going hard. That was a big moment in early episodes. Okay, I'm excited to cover this with you guys. We'll be back, guys, soon, and peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Bye.
Hey, you just listened to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast from Stranded Panda. I really hope you liked it. Let me just say a big thank you to all of our supporters on patreon.com/MCUcast. You are the lifeblood of our little operation here. And a huge, huge thank you to our insanely generous Illuminati tier patrons, Walter Kreisky III, Lieutenant Bongo, and Jazz Viz. You guys are amazing. If you'd like to see our beautiful faces, you can catch a video version of many of our episodes at youtube.com/strandedpanda. Love you 3000, my friends.